I've been looking at these gates as Nehemiah was rebuilding, building, or repairing the gates. Nehemiah was a phenomenal leader. I don't know if you realize it, but in 52 days, they rebuilt the walls and have repaired the gates to the old city of Jerusalem. And here they are now, going gate by gate. He's chosen to name 10 of those gates here in this third chapter of Nehemiah. And as we look at each one of them, we see that it is a spiritual progression in our life. We dealt first, I looked in verse 1 and verse 3, and also in verse 6, we've dealt with these individual gates, the first one being the sheep gate. And the sheep gate was a picture of our Savior, the sacrifice. It was the only gate that was sanctified. It was the only gate that did not have one of the only gates that did not have mention of doors or locks on it. It was always open. Praise God, salvation's always open. The Lord's always willing to hear your cry. He never gets weary of hearing us cry. But then last week also I pointed out the fact that these gates, as they were named in Nehemiah's time, also had other names. And the other name for the sheep gate is the lion's gate also. So the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is also the lion of the tribe of Judah. So the current lion's gate, as it's known in Jerusalem today, was the sheep gate. Then, verse 3, we dealt with the fish gate. And that's a picture of not our salvation and of our Savior, but of soul winning, reaching others. I hope that you've been challenged to go out and do things to reach others. One of the couples in our church in recent weeks has a burden on their heart of a way to reach others with the gospel, helping people to see that they need Christ more than anything. And we're to be a soul winner. He that winneth souls is wise, the Bible says. Then in verse 6 last week, I dealt with the subject of the old gate. And of course, that's a picture of the scripture, because that's where people came to meet the elders as they interpreted the law. And the scripture was given to them there so that they could have knowledge of how to deal with situations and problems. In Nehemiah 3 and verse 6 is the mention of the old gate. From there all the way down through verse 13, it talks about the different people that were involved in that. The strange thing about the old gate is it's also called the Mishnah gate, which the old gate led to the new quarter, telling us as well that God, through the power of Jesus Christ, takes the old man and the old woman and makes them a new creature in Christ. But if we're ever saved, it'll be by believing this book, the Bible. As old as it is, as old as it seems, you still have to believe with all of your heart what God's Word records about Jesus Christ and His death, His burial, and His resurrection. If you want a new life, you've got to go through the old gate. And we've got to trust the old paths and seek for the old paths. And the old paths tell us they are the paths of salvation, the path of strength, and the path of guidance. Those first three gates deal with purification in our life as a believer. We have to be forgiven of our sin. And as we tell others about Christ and we soul win, then we gain strength as well. But then finally, the more we come to God's Word and the more we look in the Word of God, the more of a desire we have to be closer to the Word, to the Lord, and to reach others with the Word of God. That's the purification gates. The next two gates, I'm only looking at one today, one verse, and that's found in verse 13. The next two gates has to do with purging. See, it's one thing to come to the Lord and ask the Lord for forgiveness and to tell others that the Lord forgives and to tell others of the power of the Word of God. But still, with all of this wrong that we have and wrong that we've done and even forgiveness that we have, even though the old man is dead, you've got to do something with the old dead man. You leave a corpse in a house, it will stink. So there is a difference between purifying, finding peace, and purging, getting rid of. The next two gates, today we look at the valley gate, the next gate is the dung gate. Both are important because they're telling us ways that we have to get rid of certain things. Now, friend, I don't care if you've been on this journey for 75 years. You got to take the garbage out every now and then. We all go through these times in life where that God allows us to get to a place of purging, getting rid of. There's some things you can't hold on to. If you hold on to a grudge or to bitterness, then it'll eventually eat you alive and it will destroy you. You can't hold on to that. There's people in this church that you've had a grudge against somebody, professing Christians. You've had a grudge against somebody for 30 years. Look right here. Get rid of that thing. Get rid of it. And God will lead us through two areas of our life. If we're really saved, this is what He'll bring us to help us get rid of things. First, He brings us to the valley gate. Verse 13, Nehemiah 3:13. The valley gate repaired Hanan and the inhabitants of Zenoa. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof. And, underline this, 1,000 cubits on the wall under the dung gate. So they not only worked on it, but for 1,000 cubits after they finished, they worked to get to the other gate. Now I've only got two quick points I want to bring out to you. First of all, the location of this gate. And second of all, the laborers, those who worked on this gate. The location of it. It's called the Valley Gate because it is the low point on the city wall. It is in the lowest parts of the city that this gate was situated. So it is a picture, just as you and I picture ourselves as valleys. This gate led to two main valleys. Two valleys this gate headed into. It was the leading place into these valleys. First of all, it led to the Valley of Hinnom. We're familiar with the Valley of Hinnom. You've heard of the Valley of Hinnom. It is the head point of the Valley of Hinnom that this gate would lead into. The Hinnom Valley is known for a lot of things. It is a gate, it is a valley that separates Mount Zion from the hill of evil counsel. That valley goes between Mount Zion and a hill of evil counsel. Do you know what it's saying? When you're in the valley, you always hear two voices. Help me preach this. When you're in the valley, you always hear two voices. One will come from Mount Zion. And the other will come from evil counsel. That is the territory that the governor, the throne of the governor, reached into that area. The throne of the governor of Persia. Which Persia has always been a type or a symbol of the enemies of God. So here you've got the enemy of God will be speaking from one side, and you also hear the voice of God speaking from the other. If you ever get to the place that you can't hear the voice of God, you're in serious trouble. We all have to hear from God from time to time. So here it is now situated by, but it was a wicked, if you go into that valley, it was a wicked valley. Do you know Solomon? We talk about Solomon and his wisdom, and he was wise. But do you know that in that valley, Solomon allowed them to erect high places, places where idols were worshipped to Molech. And Molech was the god that they offered or sacrificed their children to. It was down in this valley that if they went into it, they built this rubble. And out of this rubble came this erection to these idols that came forth to this false god named Molech. It is a type of the devil where they literally would sacrifice children. Yes, it's in your Bible. Solomon was not only good, but he was also poor in some of his judgments. Do you know why he erected those? Because he had wives that were unbelieving wives and wicked wives, and he took on all of these wives and all of these concubines, and the end result was they followed false gods. And the head of those false gods was Molech. And because of that, it was a place of desecration. It was a place where Josiah scattered human bones to make it unclean. Hey, you better be careful when you get in your valley. You can ruin your children. You'll offer your children to the false god if you listen to the wrong voice while you're in the valley. Also, it was named that because in Matthew himself, Jesus talked about Gehenna. The place where the fire is not quenched. The place where the worm dieth not. Gehenna is a type which the word Gehinnom means Gehenna. The Hebrew toward the Greek. It's the same valley. It's referred to as hell. So this one valley led, boy, it always gets quiet when you talk about hell. Hey, let's get this right. There's only two places a person can go. Heaven or hell. Now nobody anymore wants to hear about that because everybody that dies goes to heaven. But that's not what Scripture teaches. The way that leads to destruction to a place called hell is wide and few there be that find it. But the way that leads to heaven is straight and narrow. And we have to understand God doesn't have 100 ways to heaven. God has one way to heaven. By and through Jesus Christ. And you're not going any other way except through Him. All of these false gods and false religions. I don't have to be politically correct. I'm biblically correct. I don't have to bow down to them. I respect the right of every human being to believe what they want to believe. But you get this down and you mark it down good in your book. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, have repented of your sins, ask the Lord to come into your life, you are bound for a horrible place called hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It led to the valley of Hinnom and it led to the valley of Kidron. Kidron was that valley where Gethsemane is located. It's located in the Kidron Valley. It means gloomy or dark. It is a place where as a believer sometimes we get in that place where pressure is on. And we go through that valley, but through that valley, if you're going through a valley today, please, please listen to what I'm telling you. Don't go through the valley and not learn something and get rid of what God is really trying to show us while we're in the valley. Every time you ever get in serious trouble, you should do one thing immediately. Look into your own heart. Look into your own life. And be bold enough to go to the throne of grace and ask God, Lord, is there anything I need to get rid of? Always. Always we should be willing to ask that. Not only was it a low place, but it was a long distance. I started to bring maps and print them out for you, but I didn't want to confuse you too much. But if you look at maybe simple diagrams of the gates in Nehemiah's time, the longest distance from the old gate to the valley gate is the longest distance between any other gate that's there. It's the longest distance. And then from the valley gate to the dung gate, it's 500 yards, 1,500 feet, 1,000 cubits equals 1,500 feet. In other words, it'd be like putting 5 football fields together to the dung gate. And that's shorter than the distance from the valley gate back to the old gate. Now, right now, you're looking at me trying to say, what are you telling me, preacher? Now, listen, if you're a new convert, please listen to what I'm going to say. I don't mean to discourage you, but you need to learn this in your life. When you get saved, you go on a honeymoon. And you think that the rest of your Christian life is going to be the honeymoon. And sometimes you'll go a long way in this journey. But you mark it down, eventually, everybody's going to the valley. Everybody. Sometimes it's a long journey getting there. And by the way, it can be a long time getting out of it. But we're going there. Don't take for granted that just because everything is wonderful. You know, when I got saved, I thought the devil never bothered me again. Am I the only one felt that way? There's been things in my life that I thought when I got that behind me, I'll never have to deal with him again. I'll never have another struggle. I'll never have another trial. But you can remember this well. He'll always find some way to get in and some way to bring you down to the valley. And by the way, if you go through no other valley, I assure you, You're not getting out of here without dying. And the psalmist tells us that is the valley of the shadow of death that we go into. We're all going through our valley experience. You say, well, what do we get rid of there? This old body. That's what we get rid of through the valley of the shadow of death. So when we look at this, it's a long distance between them. But yet, when you're going into that, there's a lot of warning signs that's there. And you see it, you know you're coming to it, and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's not always that it's our fault that we're there. It's not always that we've done wrong. The thing of it is when we go through it, we're going to learn something or be able to get rid of something that will make us better on the other side. But it's a long journey from the valley gate to the dung gate. The dung gate, the place where they got rid of their garbage. There's a difference between the two. One, you're headed into it. You're learning. Candy and I have been on a project, and I wish I could say it was my idea and my desire, but it's neither. But you can either be married or you can be happily married. Take your choice. But she decided we're going through room by room, and we're getting rid of some of this stuff. Some of the stuff we don't even know what it is or why we have it. We're going to get rid of some of it. And every weekend, we fill our garbage can up. And when we look at some of that, will you associate with what I'm saying? We looked at stuff there yesterday and I said, why did we keep this? What is this? We didn't even know what it was. Why did we keep it? We're not going to use it. I'm telling you, some of you need to do that. And someone said, why are you doing that? Well, as you get older, you know you're not going to live forever. And I don't want my kids to be mad at me after I die like they're going to be at some of you. When they pull the dumpster in. Well, we'll leave that to another sermon. But the first thing, we had to locate what's good and what's not good. And then we had to get rid of what wasn't good. For example, yesterday, we went through our shelves. We found a outdated food. Not outdated. I mean outdated since 2008. Outdated. Now, some of you would want to be real benevolent and say, I know what we'll do. Bless God, we'll package it up and take it to the mission. Well, if I'm not going to eat it, I'm not going to feed it to somebody else. What's the matter with you? You're welcome. So we're finding it, but finding it is not the same as getting rid of it. See, you're in a purging process here. The valley gate is there to help show us, to lead us to the dung gate to get rid of it. That's the place where they took their garbage. There's also the lesson that we learn in this valley gate. These are all from the location of it. There's a simple lesson from it. Will you turn back one chapter to chapter 2 and verse 13? Chapter 2 and verse 13, one chapter exactly. Nehemiah, when he gets there, he decides to do an inspection. And when he does the inspection, he tells us a lot about this valley gate by looking at where he went. Because he started his inspection at the valley gate. See, he's going to go through and look at all of these. And I'm not going to read all the verses for time's sake. But look at verse 13 in chapter 2. And I went out by night. Nehemiah's writing this. I went out by night. By the gate of the what? The valley. Even before what? The dragon well. Will you underline the words dragon well? The dragon well and to the dung port, which is the dung gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed. So, with fire. So what he starts doing is he starts on this journey. And he tells you the whole pattern. He winds up eventually going down to the pool of Siloam and coming back to that area. But I want you to see from this verse some things about the location. As he does the inspection, isn't it strange to you, the first thing that caught my eye, he did it by night. Now, we had a horrible storm at our house yesterday afternoon. Boom, came right now. Trees breaking, limbs cracking. Windows breaking out. It was rough. And when it hit instantly and with fury. But after the storm was over, I knew that we had damage. I didn't know how much, But I knew we had damage. But I told Candy, I'm going out to look at the house before it gets dark. My neighbors were all out cleaning up the branches, doing the repairs, getting everything back in order before nightfall. He does it in just the opposite. He starts by night. Do you know why? Because the valley gate is the darkest place of your life. But he's saying in the darkness you can still find what needs to be fixed. I don't care how dark life gets for you. If you look hard enough and long enough, God will show you a way to fix it. And he said it's before the dragon well. So he's telling us something about where this gate is located. The dragon well. The dragon well was known by three names. The dragon well was known by the dragon well. Do you want to know why they call it the dragon well? They believed a dragon lived under Jerusalem and it raised up. And when it raised up, it caused the ground to crack and created a pool. It was really a pool more than a well. But since it came from a spring that bubbled up, and literally what happened, there was an earthquake in Jerusalem. And when the earthquake came, it opened up a spring and it filled up that well. They called it a well, but it was a large pool area. But they said a dragon lived under that and they never knew when it would rise up. So they treated that with respect because they didn't want to disturb the dragon. Hey, I know a lot of people drinking at the dragon's pool. And they'll claim Christ until it comes time to disturb the devil. But if it comes time to stir up the devil, they don't want to do anything to bother the devil. I just want to be safe. I want to be secure. I don't want to do anything to fight with the devil. I'm just going to sit on my pew and sing my songs and give my money and go to heaven when I die. Beyond that, let the devil do whatever he wants to do. It was also called the serpent's pool. The word dragon and serpent are synonymous in the Hebrew and the Greek language. It was a place where the serpent dwelt. So right outside the valley gate was the serpent and the dragon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you go into a valley, you mark it down just outside the gate of every valley you'll go into. The devil will be lurking somewhere out there. Always. But it was also known as the jackal's well. A jackal is a dog-like coyote. And you know why it was called the jackal's well? Because this is 1,500 feet above going into this valley. And for 1,500 feet below it, that's where the dung comes out, the garbage, the refuse comes out there. And because that valley was filling up with garbage, they also used that valley to burn bodies and bury bodies in the trash and in the garbage. And the jackals would go into that valley and dig up the dead bodies and eat the dead bodies and the rotting flesh and get thirsty and come back to this well to drink. You mark this down too. Every time you get in a valley, the devil will do his best to dig up the dead man. He'll feed on him. And feed on him. And when you think he's done, he'll go get a drink of water and come back and feed on him some more. He'll feed on the trash. We could do 1,000 great things through this church. And it's forgot about in a week, a month, a year. But you let the devil find one piece of rotting flesh in this congregation. One piece of flesh that's sinful. You let one preacher fall into sin. And 20 years later, the devil will still be feeding on that and feeding on that. I'm telling you, he loves to dig up the rotten. He loves to dig up death. He loves to live on that is dying. Notice also the labors. I didn't mean to go this long. But I think there's some real truths in this that God's spoken to my spirit about. There's two groups that's mentioned. One person by name, Canaan, and then the inhabitants of Zanoah. What's those words mean? Well, Hanan, the name Hanan means gracious grace or mercy. The name Zenoa means cast off, stinking, or rejected. On the wall of the gate, we have a picture when people go into the valley, what happens. There's two valleys there. One is the valley of Kidron, and one is the valley of Hinnom. Hinnom is a picture of hell. Kidron is a picture of pressure. Do you know, in the Bible, people experienced two wilderness experiences. Either people were led by the Spirit, as Jesus was, into the wilderness, or else, as the demoniac, they were driven by the evil spirits into the wilderness. When you get in a valley, it'll be one of two things. Either God brought you there, or God's rejected you there. Now, the reason they call this mercy and grace, if you notice where it's located, look back in verse 11 real quick. I'll try to, the last phrase there. He repaired the other piece and the tower of the furnaces. Uzziah built two big furnaces, two big ovens. They're towers that hover above these tower of furnaces to look down into this valley. And what they were doing is Uzziah said, yes, there is a garbage dump. Yes, there are jackals. Yes, it is the dragon's well and the serpent's pool. But what we're going to do, we're going to put lookouts. I'm about to preach. I'm going to look down in the valley, and I'm going to watch out for the jackals that's going to try to get my people. And I'm going to watch out for the serpents that's after my people. And I'm going to watch out for the dragon that would destroy the people. So they called that wall. No wonder they put him there to work. Hanan means mercy. It is a picture of what Uzziah was doing. He said, there is a God above that looks down when we enter into a valley. And God says, you have two decisions before you. Two choices in your decision, rather, before you. Either you can go down into Hinnom or you can go down into Kidron. And he said, I'm looking over you with mercy and grace. What we ought to do when we get in the valley is plead to God for mercy and plead to God for grace. But if we fail to plead to God for mercy and grace, then the other group, Zenoa, means rejected. Cast off. Only two groups of people worked on this gate. And only two things can happen to people in life. You either be cast off, which is to be rejected, or you'll find mercy and grace. I believe God will send people at the right time and the right place in His loving kindness to show us the mercy and grace that we need.